I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. As I always do, I look at the reading on Sunday afternoon from the previous week, and I remembered it's Good Shepherd Sunday, and I said, Lord, I don't want to do another sermon about sheep, you know. And so I felt as if the Lord was saying to me, well, look again at the readings. And it's interesting because Jesus uses this turn of phrase five times. I lay down my life for my sheep. Twice he says, in order that I may take it up again. When Christ says something five times, it means that we had better pay attention. So we have to kind of unpack that. What does it mean for us? Does he want us to do this? How do we do this? How do we imitate Christ, who after all, as the Son of God, died for us and then rose again? When I was in college, I belonged to a charismatic Catholic Christian covenant community. That's a lot of words. And we weren't all in college. I mean, I was, but not everyone there was in college. But this was part of the central teaching that we had. And I think, at least in Catholic circles, I don't think it gets a much airplay. I know some Protestant churches use this quite frequently, the need to lay down our lives for each other if we're in a relationship together. And Christ is in a relationship with us, and we are with him, and we are with each other here in this community. We're all called to lay down our lives for each other. So we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? To lay down my life for someone is to do an act of unselfishness, something that costs me something, something I do for someone else because I'm called to do so. I lay down a part of me in order that they may receive something. It has to be something valuable. It doesn't have to be a large sacrifice. In this way, we imitate Christ. I was thinking about the first person that came to mind was St. Maximilian Kolbe. You know, I've mentioned him once before in the homily. We went to the place where he died in Auschwitz 3 years ago. And St. Maximilian was the leader of the Franciscans in Poland. And all throughout most of World War II, he was a thorn in the side of the Nazis. He published the Immaculata magazine, which still is being published. And he wrote all these leaflets that he would pass out that the Nazis saw him as a mortal threat. You know, he actually had planned to put an airplane strip in so he could fly overhead and drop leaflets from the sky. He is the patron saint of the internet. But the Nazis, like I said, they were afraid of him in a sense. They didn't want to arrest him. They were afraid of the reaction. But they did in 1944. So he managed to get through most of World War II. Famously, while he was in Auschwitz, somebody in his barracks escaped, and the Nazis, who were so cruel, unbelievable cruelty, they singled out, as was their policy, 10 men to die in retribution for this escape. And Maximilian, of course, volunteered to take someone else's place who had a wife and children. And he said, I do not, and I wish to take this man's place. And they let him. And so he was basically starved to death in a starvation cell. The man whose place he took was at his canonization service. I find that very moving. But we don't have to go all the way to World War II to find examples of this in the news. One of the more interesting stories, this came up in the Bible study, I hadn't actually realized this when I read these stories, is the captain of the ship that was boarded by pirates a month or two ago. That was the first ship to be so boarded in 200 years, you know, in this country. But the captain of the ship, Captain Phelps, offered his life in exchange for his crew. He argued that he was the more valuable hostage, and they should let the other ones go and just take him. And so they did. I found out this man is very active in his church. He happens to be Catholic, and I was wondering if he realized how Christ-like this was, what he did. It's what captains are supposed to do, but it doesn't lessen the sacrifice. of his life for others, to lay down his life. And then when he took it up again, neither he nor those who heard the story are quite the same again. There's also the story of that I think it was a U.S. airplane that landed in the Hudson, that real dramatic landing. It shows how important it is to have a pilot that knows what they're doing with experience. And there are a number of good stories about that. One of them is there was a man in the back of the plane praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet because it was the 3 o'clock hour when the plane hit the water. The captain, once the plane had landed, he made sure everybody got out of the plane before he himself got out. He made sure there was nobody left. And you know, the water's getting higher and higher. Now that's what the captain is supposed to do. That's called being a professional. But it's also laying down your life for people you have responsibility for. It's exactly what Christ calls us to do. I asked myself this question, and I don't know the answer. If I found myself on that plane, and I were in that situation, not the captain, of course, but a passenger, would I be the first one at the exit? Would I be fighting people to get out? Or would I be looking around to see who can't get out? Would I be helping others out, or would I be fighting at the door to get out? It's not a question we can answer. And we don't know until we've been there. But if we have the practice of laying down our lives for others as we go through our lives in small ways, if we should be so fortunate as to have a really big chance once in our lives, we might make the right choice. And we have to be ready because we don't see them coming, What is the alternative to this? The bad shepherd. The bad shepherd works for money. He only does things if he gets recognition. He only wants things for himself. Everything he does has an angle for himself. There always has to be something in it for that person. Does not love the sheep. Does not care about them. And when the bad times come, he's out of there. This is the opposite of what Christ calls us to do as good shepherds, that we're all called to imitate him, the good shepherd. There are a number of examples of things that happen to us all the time. I think if I were to give an example that all of us, almost all of us, would understand, it's marriage, isn't it? In order to have a good marriage, you have to lay down your lives for each other at some point. If one or the other is not willing to do this, the marriage could be in trouble, because we have to die to ourselves whenever we're in a committed relationship. That's true in church as well. There are so many other examples. If I'm taking care of somebody that's sick at home, and I've been inconvenienced by it, and I'm doing this out of love, and what parent has not done this? Huh? And how many of us as adults have had to do this for others at home? I have laid down my life for that person. And when I take it up again, when the illness is completed, I am not the same. I take up my life, but I have been changed by the experience. I have become more like Christ. And I am more and more convinced that life consists mainly of learning to do purely unselfish acts for others. We're put in this life. It's like a big test. We don't get to keep anything. We don't get to stay here. It's a very temporary existence. Why are we really here if not to learn these unselfish acts like Christ? Those who are like the bad shepherd and do everything for themselves, they blow the whole test, It doesn't have to be that dramatic. Yesterday, I haven't had any good sound effects here for this, but yesterday at the First Communion, I noticed that somebody's child was crying during the first reading, so I was thinking to myself, this is what laying down your life means. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to look at them like, why aren't you in the cry room? Huh? Have you been on the receiving end of one of those looks ever? Anybody here? Have you given one? If I don't look, I have laid down my life for them. I made a sacrifice, and they will never know it, but God will. It's as simple as that. If I'm invited to grandma's house for dinner, and she's serving squash. All you kids like squash? No. And you take a big helping of it and don't complain? There's somebody that hasn't done it yet. I'm not sure I've ever done that. That's laying down your life. I was thinking about, there was a lady down in L.A. when I was, just right after I entered the seminary, invited me for dinner. She had this really delicious looking macaroni and cheese dish. And I took a big helping. Wouldn't you know it? It was booby trapped with asparagus tips on the bottom. And you know, I wasn't as holy then as I am now. So I carefully took the macaroni and cheese and left the offending asparagus tips on the bottom of the dish. It sounds trite, but I'm sure she noticed it. You know what I mean? God rest her soul. She's been deceased. She's probably listening right now somewhere. But I wish I'd taken a full helping of that. I wish I'd taken a little bit more. Then I would have laid down my life for her. You see? It's good experience. Then we're prepared for the times we don't see them coming. I also, this week, I asked God to give me examples, you know, for my homily. And so I found myself in my favorite place to get a homily story. I was at the grocery store. I had one item. The lady in front, there were no lanes that looked good, you know. I don't like the self-check. I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned. But I was in line, and this lady in front of me, she looks behind me and she says, "Oh, I see you have one item. Will you please go ahead? Will you allow me to let you go ahead of me?" Have you been the recipient of that sometime in your life? Have you done that? You have laid down your life for that person. You know why? You had something valuable. Your time, your place in line, and you took a risk that I wouldn't have a price check when I got up there. I wouldn't take a risk on me, you know. I went there last week, bought a thing of furniture polish, didn't come home with me. I have no idea where it went. So we have all these opportunities to lay down our lives for each other. If I follow the scriptures, and there, you know, there are others. We have the interfaith hospitality coming up, you know, to serve people that we do not know. If that isn't laying down your life for someone, I don't know what is. We bring food to the food bank next week. You will never see the people that pick it up. But you've given a little bit of your valuable time. I'm faithful to my prayer time, and it doesn't feel good, and I'd rather watch TV, and I stick to it. I've laid down my life for Christ. Make no mistake about it. We're lucky if we have one dramatic thing in our lives. Most of us will never have that chance. I've said at least three times at this Mass, at this church, that when I was in Seattle once, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a monk up at Lacey, Washington. I was trying to cross a very busy street. Cars were going by at about 45 miles an hour. I stepped right in front of a car, and somebody, a stranger, tackled me to the ground and probably saved my life. And at some risk to his own, I might add. I do not know who that was, but he laid down his life for me, and I am here today as a result of it. I'm sure I will be able to thank him in the world to come. So our Lord calls us then to a committed, covenanted relationship with others, and especially with himself. We lay down our lives in order to take them up again, but we are not the same after the experience. We have been changed because we have become more like Christ. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep in order to take it up again.